seated, please. We have the Hope Children's Home that will be singing for us in just a moment. And then after they sing a little bit, we have Pastor Fergus Tennell coming from Clovis. He's going to share with us a little bit about the ministry that they want to begin over in Clovis. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for a new ministry that has a lot of wonderful ramifications for now and for eternity's sake. And then later we have Brother Brian Johnson coming. He is a missionary to Lithuania. I had the privilege of teaching he and his wife when they were in Bible college. And I also had the privilege of counseling and then later officiating at their marriage. So I've had a part in their lives. They've been a part of my life. And I've had such a blessing for me to watch him, he and his wife grow over the year. Now they have four of their own children. And again, 20 years planting churches in Lithuania. So we'll have that a little bit later. But at this time, I'm going to turn this part of the service over to the Hope Children's Home.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. Hey, it's an honor to be here. I want to thank you, Pastor, publicly from the pulpit right up front for having us in, and you fine folks for allowing us to be a part of your conference here. And I'm excited to hear from the preacher tonight, and I'm excited to hear from the young people. Now, it's a Thursday evening, right? How many of you maybe had a little bit of a long day or a tough day? Anybody here? A little bit, yeah? Well, hey, at least you didn't have to drive 1,800 miles on a bus with 25 children, right? It could get worse. I'm just kidding, but you guys have been wonderful. We sure appreciate the hospitality so far. And we've loved and enjoyed meeting you all, the pastor, the building, the facility is beautiful. I only have one complaint, though. Y'all ought to get a song leader that has a little bit of energy about him. Just kidding. Great job. I appreciate that. We certainly, as I said, we are honored to be here. And we've been looking forward to this for quite some time now. And we've got some exciting things we want to share with you tonight. And, of course, the young people are going to sing in just a moment. But wanted to say thank you for the meal, Pastor. That was wonderful, the pizza and all the fixings and salad and all that, and all those that helped to make that possible. But then I also want to publicly say thank you to the church for the gift cards that you bought for our young people. I'm going to tell you what, that I know that that's a sacrifice, and I appreciate that. And I know that there was folks in here that gave sacrificially to make that happen. And so I really want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for that. And I promise you that before we go back to Florida sometime on our tour, we're going to stop by Walmart and let them load up on whatever they want to get. And with $50 each, it's going to be a bunch of candy. I can tell you that right now. And sugar and everything. You know what? Now that I think it through, we might want to make that the last day of tour so that we can send them back to their house parents all sugared up and ready to roll. So, but we thank you all for that. And then, of course, you were kind enough to give the adults in the group a love offering as well. So we sure appreciate that. I knew from the first few moments that we got here that this was a friendly church, a kind church, and a loving church. And I've been able to talk with many of you prior to the service, so we thank you. Well, I don't want to spend too much time talking. I just want to share a little bit about our ministry. As Pastor mentioned, we are Hope Children's Home. We've been located in Tampa, Florida for 50 years now. It's our 50th anniversary this year. And we've had several thousand children come through the doors of our ministry. Children that are would share stories with you about how their parents are maybe addicted to drugs and alcohol. Maybe their parents are in and out of prison. Maybe their parents just can or won't provide for them. And maybe their parents are what we would say maybe good parents that love them but just can't provide for them. Maybe it's a financial need or a health need in their life. And so I say it this way. Our kids are good kids that come from bad situations, if you can think of it that way for a moment. Just good, average, normal kids that just need a helping hand. And for 50 years, Hope Children's Home has been that. And we're able to take these young people in. And, of course, we meet all their physical needs. We feed over 300 meals a day. The Lord provides each and every one of those. We clothe them, and we put a roof over their head. And we send them to our Christian school that we have on property. And it's a great education that they get. We minister to them in all of those ways. But can I just tell you this? If that's what Hope Children's Home was about, and if that's all that we did and we stopped there, then we would truly miss the mark. Because our greatest calling and the true mission and the heartbeat of our ministry is to see these young people come to know Christ as their Savior. And after that, we want to see them to be reared in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we want to train them to be soldiers, to go out into the world and to make a difference. And so that's what our ministry is all about. That's the way it's been for 50 years. And that's the way we'll be for the next 50 years. And so, young people, if you would come on up. I'll be at the back table tonight, and I think we're going to sing a couple songs, and then we'll come back up and sing a few more songs later. But I'll be at the back table. If you have any more questions or anything else I can share with you, I would love to. When I come back up a second time, I'm going to share with you a very exciting thing that's going on here in New Mexico with our ministry. So the young people are going to sing a few songs here, maybe share a few testimonies as well. And the first song that I want to have them sing is entitled Stand Still. You know, we live in a world that's kind of chaotic, right? We can say it this way. We live in the rat race. Things are always going. They're always busy. And then in addition to that, then sometimes life throws us a curveball. And we're placed in a difficult situation. And the young people have found themselves, too, in those situations at a very young age. And this message of the song simply says this: to stand still in those times and let God move. If you're like me, I like to kind of take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and I like to solve my own problems. But the Lord sometimes says, hey, this is bigger than you. This is greater than you. Stand still and let me show you. So listen to the young people as they sing, if you would.
Make a way for you. Stand still and let God. so they were never there. So my grandma tried to take care of me, but just her health and the finances just couldn't help me. So I came in the home. Ever since I've been in the home, I've been saved and baptized. And thank you for letting us be here.
How many of you know that drugs and alcohol are just a killer in our society right now? How many of you know a friend or family member that's affected with drugs and alcohol? Most of the hands in the room. And, and that's the product of the children, what they go through. And they're able to come to Hope Children's Home. We're able to care for them and love on them and teach them about the Lord and see their lives forever changed. Well, we want to sing one more song, and then we'll turn it over to the pastor and go from there. But this song is entitled Nail It to the Cross. And, sometimes even in our Christian world, even in our Christian walk with the Lord, sometimes we let things slip in from time to time in our relationships affected with the Lord. And this song simply talks about when we go through those times, we can take those things and we can nail them to the cross and we can have our relationship with the Lord. So listen to young people as they sing.
Something in your heart between you and the Lord. Are you drifting apart? Not as close anymore. There's nothing you can't do that He will not forgive. Bring it to the cross. Let it die so you can live. And nail it to the cross.
You can just hold it a second. We're going to have another break. So you'll be after the last singing. Okay, just redirecting the directions here. All right, Pastor Tennell, I'd like for you to come share with us what the Lord's doing in your heart, in the heart of the church, and what the church has planned. Would you please? Sure. Bless you.
My name's Fergus Tennell. I'm pastor at Westbrook Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Excited about being here tonight. Excited about Hope Children's Home. It was in February of 2016 I was first introduced to Hope Children's Home. I was in Tampa, Florida for a meeting, and the children sang and gave testimony. And I don't know about you, but when I sat out there listening to it, I was crying. Just emotionally, just touched by the children's testimonies and the singing. And was excited about the children's home. Later that year, our church purchased a piece of property across town. And really, we didn't know for sure what we would use that property for. And so in December of 2016, I contacted Brother Mike Higgins, Brother Matt's dad. He's a director there at Hope Children's Home. And just said, hey, we have a piece of property here, have a building, you know, don't know, would you guys be interested in doing something in Clovis, New Mexico? And so that started the ball rolling, and here we are a year and a half later, excited about what the Lord's doing. So I already have started remodeling some of the buildings out there in Clovis, New Mexico. We bought 17 acres. There's a 30,000 square foot building, pictures of it in the newsletter back there, a 30,000 square foot building, 52 rooms, just a good piece of property, good buildings. Need some remodel and some work to be done on them also to get it ready for the children. But Lord has just worked in our church's heart, and it's just not Pastor Tennell's thoughts and everything else. I mean, our church, Westbrook Baptist Church, is completely behind Hope Children's Home, and we're excited about starting the children's home there in Clovis. So appreciate your prayer. We covet your prayer concerning that with Hope, and then with us, with Westbrook Baptist Church also. Just pray for us. Make sure you get one of their prayer letters back there. Sign up for it. They'll send it to you. And we're just so thankful Pastor Adams has invited them to be here in the services with you here today. I know they'll be a blessing to you. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Tim. When I first got some information, I have a procedure that I do with all the missionaries and send them a questionnaire. What do you believe? Why? Because Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? If we're not agreed on doctrine, we can't go anywhere. And so through the process of time, getting acquainted better with Pastor Tennell, and I think I could say, brother, that you're a sister church that believes just like we do. And so to find that in a ministry, I thought it was a special blessing and is a privilege to have you here. I want you to come back and have the kids come back and sing. And Brian, I hate to tell you what Brian said. He said, Pastor, if they sing a little longer, I'll preach a little shorter. So, would you come on, please?
I have a friend who's Before you think that you're too lost to stay,
Young people, excellent job. And I'll tell you this, you guys make it easy for us to fall in love with you. You know that? Oh, you're ripping my heart out. You really are. I'm just so thankful the Lord sent you our way. And to folks from our church, as your pastor, I take it pretty seriously what we do and why we do it and how we do it. And, of course, I'm not going to say too much more about the process. But to our church members that had a part in giving gifts to these kids, aren't you glad you did? I'm just so thankful that we could do that for you guys. So I'd like for you to stand and look around at all these people. So young people, do that, would you please? Look at these people sitting back here. They all had a part of trying to be a blessing to you. And you know what? You guys reciprocated just by being a blessing to us to be here. So let's give them a good hand, folks. And by the way, the singing was great, too. It was good. Very good. And so I'm so thankful you're here. I'm thankful to have Brother Brian Johnson, our missionary from Lithuania. As I mentioned, he and his wife Lisa have been there 20 years. Their children are the ages of you guys. And they go from 9 to 18, 9 to 17. And they're involved in Lithuanian schools. They have a part over there. They're faithful witnesses. And they're trying to do their part just to honor and glorify God. That's our theme, glorify the Creator. And as you guys were singing, I was reading that behind you, and I was praying. I was praying that God protect you guys and that they glorify Him. So I'm praying for you to glorify the Lord who loves you far more than you'll ever know. Brother Brian, come and preach, would you please?
All right, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter number 18 this evening. Acts chapter number 18. What a blessing that was. Amen? Boy, I enjoyed that. Man, that was great singing and great testimonies and so on. I'm not going to take and talk a whole lot and tell stories. And you know missionaries, we got stories. Amen? I could talk all night and give you stories, but I've got a certain amount of time, and I want to be respectful of you and your time. Listen, this is Missions Conference on a weeknight. And I'm so glad that you're here and you've taken the time to come and so on. So I will be respectful of your time. Last night we talked about the idea that I wanted to put across is simply this, building up your base by obeying the Great Commission. Building up your base, the local church here, by obeying the Great Commission. And we basically talked about reaching out to our Jerusalem. And if we don't reach out to our Jerusalem, then we will not have the ability to reach out across the seas and so on, support missionaries, send missionaries, all that kind of stuff. And we talked about Theophilus. Tonight, I want to talk to you basically about this thought, okay? Building up your potential by surrendering to the Great Commission. So we talked about building up your base by obeying. Now I want to talk to you about building up your potential by surrendering to the Great Commission. And these young people, you heard some of the stories and so on that they have, and the stories of their lives and the testimonies that they have and the way that God has blessed and so on. And I want to introduce you tonight to a couple that also has a story. And it's a story of God's grace, and it's a story of God's goodness and His protection and His blessing. And I believe that we'll get some encouragement here from this couple that we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes. Acts chapter number 18, if you have your place there, I want to read just the first three verses, and then we'll kind of get into the message. The Bible says this, Acts chapter number 18, verse 1, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation, they were tent makers." Aquila and Priscilla is the couple that I want to talk to you about tonight, and I'm hoping that they will be an encouragement to you and a challenge to you personally, especially in this area of missions. Aquila and Priscilla are a very unique couple. I believe that in the Bible, you have couples that are mentioned in the Old Testament. You have couples that are mentioned in the New Testament. But I believe that Aquila and Priscilla are the best example that we have of a husband and wife who are in love with God, in love with each other, and in love with ministry. And we're going to talk about Aquila and Priscilla this evening. Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned six times in your Bible in four different books. And it's interesting to me that they are always, without fail, mentioned together. When you find Aquila, you also find Priscilla. When you find Priscilla, you also find Aquila. They were a team in ministry, and they did some great things for God, and that's who I want to use tonight. I want to tell you their story, and I want them to speak to you and hopefully challenge you tonight, particularly in the area of surrender, building up your potential by surrendering to the Great Commission. As we open up the story here, in Acts chapter number 18, verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. While he was there, the Bible says, he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy. Now, listen, we hear that, and we don't really understand what's taking place, but you need to get gripped here. You need to get a grip with the second half of that verse, and it's going to tell you a lot about their story. The Bible says in the second half, they lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Why? Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Hey, listen, Aquila and Priscilla, they had their business of making tents there in Rome. They had their contacts for their business. They had their home there. They had all of those things, and rose up a ruler by the name of Claudius in AD 49, and he said, all Jews, you must leave the city of Rome. I think about Aquila and Priscilla. Basically, they've just lost everything. They've lost the place where they live. They lost the contacts for business. They've lost all of these types of things. And perhaps they were discouraged, and perhaps they were mad, and perhaps they were questioning and saying, why is this happening to me? They had to leave Rome, and they went across there, and they went down over there into Corinth. But listen, even in that dark part of the story of their life, God had a plan. Amen? God had a plan, and that plan involved a missionary by the name of the Apostle Paul, and brought them together there in the city of Corinth. They left Rome. They went down to Corinth, and the Bible says that they were there. And so on, Paul, as you know, in his missionary journeys, he was a tent maker. And from time to time and from location to location, he had to make tents and so on. And so as he comes to Corinth, he's a little short on funds. And so he starts looking around for work. And he goes, knocks on the door. And I believe, you know, this is just a little bit of my own imagination, all right? He knocks on the door and says, hey, my name is Paul, and I need some work, and I need, you know, I sew tents and all that kind of stuff. And the guy says, hey, I believe you probably do a good job, and you're probably a good worker, but I just can't employ you right now. But hey, go on down the street there. There's some folks that had just come from Italy not long ago, and they're trying to set up shop, and they're trying to get their business base here and so on. Their names are Aquila and Priscilla. And so Paul goes on down the street and knocks on their door, and Aquila and Priscilla come out, and he says, hey, listen, I need a job, amen. I'm a missionary, I'm on the field, I need a job, I make tents, you guys make tents, can you employ me? So in this story of Aquila and Priscilla, and the things that we read about them and the things that we're going to learn about them, I want you to see here in the beginning of the relationship between the Apostle Paul and Aquila and Priscilla was such that Aquila and Priscilla were the bosses of the Apostle Paul. Look at verse number 3. And because he was of the same craft, two things, he abode with them, and he wrought, he worked for them. Aquila and Priscilla were the employers. Aquila and Priscilla were the ones that Paul worked for. They're the ones that paid his salary, and so on. And listen, Paul, being the man of God that he was, and following the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God, he witnessed to his employers, amen. What a great thing that is for us. In our jobs and in our lives. And listen, and we're talking about last night reaching out to our Jerusalem. Here is the missionary, the Apostle Paul, and he is now witnessing to his employers. And in the process of time here, they do get saved. He was there, looking with me in verse number in verse number 11. This continued by the there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Look with me at verse number 18. The Bible says this. Go back here a little bit. And Paul, after this, tarried yet there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and so on. Listen, we know 18 months, and the Bible says yet there a good while. Aquila and Priscilla, Paul was living with them. Paul was working for them. They had went through some very traumatic things. They had lost all of their friends and contacts and all of that stuff back in Rome. But they come to Corinth and they meet Paul. And Paul preaches to them and they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Well, we see several things here coming up that I want to share with you that are just truly amazing to me. I want us to notice five things this evening about Aquila and Priscilla. Five things about Aquila and Priscilla. I gave you the introduction. I gave you a little bit of their story, how we come to meet them, and so on. The first thing I want you to see about Aquila and Priscilla is, number one, is this. They were completely sold out to God. They were completely sold out to God. Now, my friend, listen, the theme of this missions conference is glorify the Creator. And there is nothing more, I believe, listen, you get saved, but then surrendering yourself to Him. Listen, I believe that brings glory to our Creator, amen? And Aquila and Priscilla here, they were sold out to God, and they surrendered to Him and to His will. At some point in that 2-year time frame, up to about 2 years there, they were saved and they were discipled. And then look with me in verse number 18. The Bible says this. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. When Paul, after 2 years of ministry, when Paul sailed out away from Corinth on his way to Syria, he's got a couple that is sold out to God, saved. And listen, they are discipled, and they're about to work alongside the missionary, the Apostle Paul. They were sold out to God. Listen, I want to talk to you tonight again. I want to remind you about that, building up your potential as a local New Testament church by surrendering yourselves to the Great Commission. Just like Aquila and Priscilla here. They were with Paul, and they learned from Paul, and they received Paul, you know, his teaching and all of that kind of stuff. And the Great Commission Paul gave to them, and man, they had a burden on their heart, and they said, they had a talk amongst themselves and said, listen, we were kicked out of Rome, we sold it all once, and we started over in Corinth, and we're going to do it again. And I don't know exactly how that process went, but they sold things, they packed things, they got on the ship, and they got traveling with the Apostle Paul, and they went to Syria. And so on. And farther on, verse number 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. So they're traveling with the Apostle Paul. That first thing I want you to see is that they were completely sold out to God. Now listen, this church right here, if you want to do some great things for God, listen, you've done some great things in your past. Praise the Lord, you're doing some great things now. But if you want to do even greater things for the glory of God in the future, you must sell out to Him. Just like Aquila and Priscilla here. How many of you have been saved for over 2 years? Raise your hand. A whole host of you. How many of you are ready to go to the mission field? All right, pastor's got his hand up. Hey, man, look at that. Aquila and Priscilla, from the time of salvation to the time when they went to the mission field is less than 2 years' time. That only happens when somebody is sold out to God. They were saved and discipled and surrendered to the mission field within 2 years' time. Listen, what a blessing they are. They left their new home. They left their business, their contacts, their accounts, and all of those types of things. They left everything behind to go forward for Christ. Why? Because of surrender. They wanted to bring glory to their Creator by being obedient to the Great Commission, and they surrendered themselves to missions, and they went with the Apostle Paul. Commitment, dedication, willingness, surrender. Those are the things that we see as we look at Aquila and Priscilla. Notice what being sold out to God produced in their lives. Number two tonight, I want to say this. They were doctrinally sound in their faith. They were doctrinally sound in their faith. Not only, number one, are they surrendered to the will of God and sold out to the will of God, but number two, they were doctrinally sound in their faith. If God was going to use them on the mission field, then Paul would have to just pour himself into them, into discipling them and making strong Christians out of them. And Paul was confident in them and in their ability. Why? Because they were doctrinally sound in their faith. Acts 18, verse 19, he came to Ephesus and he left them there. But those are powerful words right there. Remember, they'd been in Corinth for at least 2 years with the Apostle Paul, and they took off and sailed away, and they went towards Syria there, and now they're in Ephesus, and Paul leaves them there as Paul goes on to Jerusalem to do some things in Jerusalem and so on. But he came to Ephesus, and he left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed away from Ephesus. Well, during that time in Ephesus, as Paul was preaching and teaching and all of that, there were people in Ephesus who got saved, and there were people in Ephesus who got baptized, and there were people in Ephesus that needed somebody to teach them and to disciple them. And this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, who were sold out to God and surrendered to him and being obedient to the Great Commission, Paul left them there. Why did he leave them there? Because they were sound in the faith. They were doctrinally sound in their faith. Paul brought them to Ephesus and then left them there to carry on his ministry. Hey, if we want to glorify the Creator, number one, we've got to surrender ourselves to him and to service, and surrender our finances to him, surrender our time to him, surrender our treasures and our talents and all of these things to him. We need to do those things in order to glorify him. But we also need to get in the book and know what we believe and why we believe it, so we can stand strong as a Christian in this world in which we live. And Aquila and Priscilla were sound in their faith. Paul was so confident in their faith and in their doctrine that he left them there in charge of that ministry in Ephesus. Paul had confidence in their doctrine. He trusted them in their ability, and he left them on their own. Another point here I want to make, look down at verse number 24. They were sound, doctrinally sound in their faith, verse number 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. We are introduced now to a man by the name of Apollos, a very famous preacher. And the Bible says there that he was an eloquent man. That means that he was a prince of preachers. Amen. He could preach, and he was an eloquent man. And the Bible also says about him that he was mighty in the scriptures. A preacher who is mighty in the scriptures, verse 22. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. I want you to understand, this highfalutin preacher, who is an eloquent preacher and respected and looked up to, and he knew and he was mighty in the scriptures, when he preached, there was something wrong with his doctrine. And Aquila and Priscilla went up to him and said, listen, Brother Apollos, we want to help you out a little bit here. And the Bible says that Aquila and Priscilla expounded unto him, the one who is the expounder, the preacher, the eloquent man, and they taught him sound doctrine. Why is that possible? Well, first of all, they were surrendered in their heart and in their mind. They surrendered their life. They surrendered their learning and all of those types of things. And they made it a habit to be doctrinally sound. Listen, that doesn't happen by mistake. If you're going to be a doctrinally sound individual, you've got to be in church when church is going. Amen. You've got to be in the Bible Institute. You've got to be in the classes, in Sunday school, and things like that. You've got to put a little effort into it. But when you do, God can use you in a great way. Amen. He's using Aquila and Priscilla because they are sound in their doctrine. They're taking care of that fledgling work there that is there in Ephesus. And they take all the Apollos here, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. And they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, Help them, I'm having a hard time seeing here. And help them much which have believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Amen. Look at that. This man here, his ministry was going. He was eloquent and mighty in the scriptures. But when he got his doctrine right, when Aquila and Priscilla expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, the Bible says he was mightily used in a great way. Why did that happen to Apollos? Because he came into contact with a couple that were surrendered to God and were doctrinally sound in their faith. Notice a couple more things here about them. Number three, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse number 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all of the churches of the Gentiles. Number 3, about Aquila and Priscilla. They surrendered to God. They wanted to glorify the Creator. They became sound in their doctrine. And they began working for God on the mission field. And they had a great testimony among the brethren and among the churches. Again, look at verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all of the churches of the Gentiles. They are thankful for Aquila and Priscilla and their ministry. They are thankful to Aquila and Priscilla that they surrendered their life. They are thankful to Aquila and Priscilla for starting these churches and working and discipling people and all of these things. And they had a good testimony among the churches and among the brethren. Paul was thankful for them and their ministry, and so were all of the churches. The number 4 here about Aquila and Priscilla, they were a personal blessing to Paul in the ministry. Now, all of these things, again, resulted because, number 1, they got saved and baptized and discipled, but they surrendered themselves. They surrendered everything. They held nothing back. They surrendered their finances, their business, their home, their location, their friends. They surrendered everything, and because of their surrender, their potential was expanded, and God used them in a great way. In fact, all of the churches of the Gentiles thank God for them. Number 4, they were a blessing to Paul in the ministry personally. Romans 16:3 again, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks. I want you to see something right there, that Aquila and Priscilla, I don't know what happened, how it happened, what the circumstances were, but they put their life on the line for the man of God. Local church, listen to me. You have a man of God that is here that God has placed in this ministry. All God's people said, amen. You need to lay down your neck for the man of God. You need to be faithful to the man of God. And you need to be a blessing to the man of God that God has given you here at this church. Amen. These people here, Aquila and Priscilla, they wanted to glorify their Creator. They did it starting out after they were saved by surrendering and studying and becoming doctrinally sound and working and having a good testimony among the churches. And they were a blessing to the man of God, the Apostle Paul. The last thing I want you to see about them. Now get this. A husband and a wife. A husband and a wife. You saw many pictures last night of my wife and my family. Today, Pastor and I were in Walmart, and they got Wi-Fi in there, and so I got a hold of my wife, and I let Pastor talk to my wife a little bit and so on. I want you to know tonight, listen, I am thankful for the wife that God has given me in my life and in my ministry, amen? She is a helpmeet in every way that is possible, and she is a helpmeet to me and a blessing. And Aquila and Priscilla, it was the same for them, a husband and a wife who were surrendered and sold out to God, and they worked together in ministry. Husbands and wives, a lot of times the wife is very faithful and involved, maybe the husband's not, or vice versa. Maybe the husband's very involved and the wife is not, but hey, these two here, they opened up their home, they opened up their lives, they opened up their finances and everything. And they worked together in ministry. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 5. The Bible says this, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. But notice the first part of that verse there. They work together in ministry. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Listen, we find evidence in the Bible here that the first church was probably started when Paul went working with them, and they were together there in the city of Corinth, and they had a big area to make those tents, and perhaps and probably they started that church there in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. And when they went to Ephesus, I think that they probably had the church in their house there, amen? And I also believe that that was very loud. I don't know why. I also believe that Aquila and Priscilla had a church in their house in Rome as well. What do we see from Aquila and Priscilla? We see consistency, commitment, and faithfulness over time. We see a couple who says, I want to glorify the Creator, and I want to give myself to missions. Listen, this is missions conference tonight, and you're here. If you're here and not saved, I want you, first of all, to surrender your heart to the Savior, amen, and get saved tonight. Listen, I want you to be saved. The second thing here, I want you to surrender your will to follow God's plan for your life. You say, well, I may not like the plan of God and what He has for my life. Hey, Aquila and Priscilla didn't know all that they were getting into when they boarded that boat with the Apostle Paul, but they were committed to the will and to the plan of God. Amen. And God used them in a great way. Surrender your will and follow God's plan. Also, surrender your life and serve God. And if that means on the mission field, praise God. But say you're not going to the mission field overseas. You have a mission field right here, amen. We talked about that last night. This is your Jerusalem. And you have an obligation given to you by God and a command by the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to preach the gospel to every creature. And listen, surrender tonight. Aquila and Priscilla, what a couple they are, and what an example and testimony they are to us. And all of these things happened. And all of their potential was unlocked because of their surrender to God, first of all. I want to ask you tonight, are you surrendered to Him? Are you surrendered to His will? Are you surrendered to His plan? Are you willing to surrender your life to Him? And most importantly, if you're not saved, are you willing to surrender your heart to Him in salvation tonight? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed as you stand to your feet, we're going to have the instruments start playing here in just a second. And I want you to just think about these thoughts. I'm talking tonight about building up your potential as a local New Testament church here by surrendering to the Great Commission. By surrendering to the Great Commission. That means personally sharing your faith with others. That means surrendering, perhaps going to the mission field. That means sharing your faith with others here in this community. That commission is given to each and every one of us. Are you willing tonight to surrender to the Great Commission? Father in heaven, we love you tonight, and we thank you so much for this church, these people, this time, this place. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and minds. And Lord, you would convict us and convince us of whatever it is that we need to do. Lord, I pray you have your way and will in this invitation now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Pastor.